and want to send one of your family members out to get one in the lobby, that might be a good idea. But again, so grateful that you chose to make this service part of your Christmas celebration. And let me extend a warm welcome to you if you're a guest tonight. That is not a regular part of our New Covenant family. We're especially glad that you could join us this evening. Thank you for coming. Let me just remind you, we have a nursery in the building right next door here. If you have a child that's 4 years old and under, please don't hesitate to take advantage of that. There's some very loving and capable hands that can care for your young children. So please use that if you'd like to. Of course, you're welcome to keep your children with you here in the service. That's perfectly okay. Just if you would be sensitive of the people around you if your child begins to, you know, get wiggly or whatever. Thanks for helping us out with that. I want to say before we begin, thank you to a few people. First of all, to the men who have volunteered to read Scripture tonight, I want to say thank you to you men for your role in the service. You'll hear several of our men stand up and read a portion of the redemption story. So thank you, gentlemen, for your help tonight. I want to thank you to our musicians who are participating in the service, Nick and the team behind me and other soloists this evening. Thank you for your hard work and your preparation for tonight. I want to say thank you to the choir and their hard work and preparation. I want to say a special thank you to Van for whipping us into shape in 3 short weeks. 3 weeks ago tonight, we took our first shot at the Hallelujah Chorus, and God has been gracious, and hope you'll enjoy that at the end of the service this evening. Last, but by no means least, the two men who are sitting in our sound booth tonight play a crucial role in this evening's service. I want to say thanks to Gary and Terry back there, and appreciate you men helping us tonight as well. Perhaps you're not familiar with this form of service, a candlelight service of 9 lessons and carols. It is not a new thing. It's been around for quite some time, a well-known format. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that requires this, but it's helpful to think through the birth of Christ and what led up to it. And that's what you'll hear this evening, not just about a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem, but we'll trace all the way back to Genesis 3 and hear why that baby, why that Savior was needed, because of our rebellion against our Creator and the need for a Savior and the need for Him to redeem us. So this format has been used for quite some time. It's used by, I think you can tune in on Christmas Eve afternoon and hear the original service done in Cambridge, England. They usually broadcast it on the radio each year. Well, that's where this came from. And it's a good format. You'll even hear some of the very same scripture passages used in that service if you tune it in on Christmas Eve. It's helpful for us. It describes how God planned to redeem us. And you'll hear where we went awry in the garden in Genesis 3, and then you'll hear prophecies about how God prepares His people for redemption leading up to Christ's birth and the Savior's ministry and eventually His reign as King. So that's how the service will unfold. And if you have a bulletin in front of you, it'll be your roadmap and help you see how the service progresses. Let me begin tonight then officially with a call to worship. This is from Revelation 1:8 and 4:11. A call to worship is simply a call to you to give your full attention to what's going to follow, to give your attention to God. And the song that follows this is really, we're singing a call to worship after that. Oh, come, all ye faithful. And we're calling you to worship God for the great gift of His Son. And then together we'll recite or say in unison a prayer of confession and adoration on the back of your program. But that will follow in due time. Let me begin then from Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, and then I'll follow immediately with Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The word of the Lord.
Please stand and join us as we sing, O Come, All You Faithful.
Turn to the back of your program and let's read this prayer of confession and adoration. This will be our opening prayer for the evening. And let's recite this in unison. Almighty God, God of grace and truth, in Jesus Christ you came among us as light shining in darkness. We confess that we have not welcomed the light or trusted good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope so that we may receive the fullness of your grace and live in the truth of Christ the Lord. Good and gracious God, on this night you gave us your Son, the Lord of the universe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Savior of all, lying in a manger. On this night, draw us into the grace of your love. Join our voices with the heavenly host, that we may sing your glory on high. Give us a place among the shepherds, that we may find the one for whom we have waited, Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first lesson, Genesis 3. Adam and Eve rebel against God and are cast out of the garden. Adam is told that his seed, which refers to Christ, will bruise the serpent's head. This is the word of God. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of God. And now we'll hear, O come, Emmanuel.
That mourns in lonely exile. dark shadows go to fly. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to your Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and high. To us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in the ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations find, in one the hearts of all mankind. In our sad division sins, and be thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
The second lesson is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, and verses 25 through 31. God promises that a child shall be God comforts his people and calls on them to prepare for redemption. Comfort for God's people. This is the word of God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended and her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and when the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The greatness of God. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and he and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Verse 25 through 31. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is God's word. And now Dan will come and play the carol, O Come. O Come. I'm sorry. Come, thou long-expected Jesus.
Third lesson. This will be read from Isaiah 7, 9, and 11. God promises that a child shall be conceived who will be known as God with us. The word of the Lord. Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 14. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountain, all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. He shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. The word of the Lord. And now a carol, Emmanuel.
A sign shall be given, a virgin will conceive, a human baby bearing undiminished deity. The glory of the nations, a light for all to see, and hope for all who will embrace his warm reality.
Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. For all those who live in the shadow of death, a glorious light has dawned. For all those who stumble in the darkness, behold, your light has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel.
So what will be your answer? Or will you hear the call of him who did not spare his son, but gave him for us all? On earth there is no power, there is no depth nor height that could ever separate us from the love of God in Christ.
Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel.
Lesson 4, the scripture reading will come from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 55. The angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary that she will bear the Son of the Most High. Hear the word of the Lord our God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went to haste to the hill country, to the town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed are the fruit of your womb. And why is this greeted to me, the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of the greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that this would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. For he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on the generations will call me blessed. For he has been the mighty. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, and from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud with the tongues of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty with their thrones and exalted the humble estate. He has filled the hunger with the good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped the servant of Israel and has remembered his mercy. And he has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham, and to our offspring forever. The word of the living God. The next carol will be Breath of Heaven by Christine Hill.
The fifth lesson, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, from Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor in Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And now we will hear Silent Night.
This is the sixth lesson. We're going to be reading Luke 2, 8 through 20. Jesus is worshipped by the angels and the shepherds. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to read Luke 2, 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God. And next we have our music team singing, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
The seventh lesson, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them, where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And now the carol, "One Child," by Christy Nelson.
Takes one child to forever change. for she knows this is the one child to forever change the world. And this is my Jesus.
The eighth lesson is from John 1:1 through 14. The Word was made flesh, and we have seen His glory. The Word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The next carol is The Final Word.
Clumsy words, the noise of what we often say is not worth being heard. When the Father's wisdom wanted to communicate His love, He spoke it in one final perfect word. He spoke the incarnation, and then so was born the Son.
His final word was Jesus, he needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so he could bleed and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine. And so the Father's fondest thought took on flesh and bone. He spoke the living, luminous word. At once his will was done. And so the transformation that in man had been unheard took place in God the Father as he spoke the final word. He spoke the incarnation, and then so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus, he needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so he could lead and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine. And so the light became alive and man became man. Eternity stepped into time so we could understand. He spoke the incarnation, and then so was born the Son. His final word was Jesus, he needed no other one. Spoke flesh and blood so he could lead and make a way divine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine. And so was born the baby who would die to make it mine.
The ninth lesson this evening is Hebrews 1, 1 through 13. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son, whose reign is forever and ever. This is God's inspired, inerrant word. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. The Son is exalted above the angels. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. And they will all grow like a all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you may fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? This is a reading of God's holy word. And now we have the New Covenant Christmas choir singing the Hallelujah Chorus. Thank you.
So as you're all standing, remain standing, and we will do Joy to the World.
Look forward to the day when Christ will come and consummate His kingdom. Until that day, He offers full and free forgiveness to all who will turn to Jesus in faith and repentance. And any of us on the platform would love to talk to you about that further tonight if you're not sure what it means to know Christ as your Savior and Lord. Thank you again for coming tonight. Let me dismiss us with a word of prayer. And now, Father, we are grateful that You sent Your Son to save us. We, in our darkness and deadness, thank You for sending Jesus, the life and the light of the world. Father, press the precious truth of Your Son's birth into our hearts, that He came to pay the penalty for our sins upon the cross. Press this home throughout the rest of the Christmas season. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.